You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Settlers. If you go back early 1600s, Jamestown, the settlers show up. And what is a settler? A person who moves with a group of others to live in a new country or area. So that's what they were. Fleeing religious persecution, trying to find some place they could worship. Sounds all romantic now, but it was a very tough thing. Wasn't what they thought it would be. A lot of people died trying to settle this place. A little known fact, maybe you know this, Benjamin Franklin tried to make the turkey the national bird. That would have screwed up Thanksgiving forever, eating eagle every year. So thank God that didn't work out. So settlers, you say, well, is that a bad thing? Is a settler a bad thing? No, obviously it takes a lot of courage to be that kind of settler. But there's other kind of settlers, and we're going to look at some of those today. Now go to John 10:10, probably my most read verse. So, and this is directed specifically at Christians at the moment. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So let me ask you this question about you, about me. Are you a settler? You're a Christian, and you read a verse like that, and you say, I'm just going to settle for life. I'm not interested in the more abundant part, because it looks like it requires too much sacrifice. Take up your cross daily, follow him, deny yourself. I'm not interested in that. But I got my ticket to heaven, so I'm settling right there. That's all I want. I'm done. I'm out. You say, well, I'm not a settler. Ask yourself. Look at your life. Are you just holding your ticket, waiting for him to come get you? Or are you moving forward? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you applying the scriptures? Is your life continue to change? Do you continue to grow? Is it working? I don't know that I knew this when I was young, but I'm beginning to understand this now. No matter what hurdle I get over, there's always another hurdle. Sanctification is a process that ends when glorification begins. And as long as you're on this planet, you're being sanctified. And you may be the godliest old coot in the world. At 95, you still got something to learn or you wouldn't be here. Now listen, if you're not moving forward, you're stopped. You're settling down. You're settling in. You're like, well, this is a good spot. I think I'll just stay here till I die. I try calmly and I'm reading the verses along the way. I'm trying to help you and tell you there is an exit interview coming. It's not the interview that's going to get you into heaven, but it's going to determine the rewards in heaven. And on that day, you're going to say, I should have listened. You listened on life, you won't listen on life more abundantly, and it'll cost you. Because the things down here, you have a good year, you get a review, you get a bonus. Nah, I don't need that bonus, right? How many of you ever turned down a bonus because you thought, well, you know, let somebody else have it? So heaven's great, but what if there's a bonus? What if for the rest of eternity, how you lived here is going to have an impact on how things go there and who you are there and the responsibilities you have there? See, you don't care now because the only way you can care now is to live by faith and say, I can't see that now, but I see it in the scriptures. I have to apply it because this is going to matter one day. The oil light went off on my car, so I got me a big piece of duct tape and covered that light up. Of course I didn't do that. Why would I do that? It says I have 4% oil life left. Probably time to go get the oil changed. Or not. So you can do what you want to in your car. But why wouldn't you change your oil? So you got life if you're a Christian. But do you have it to the full, more abundantly? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's start with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, as though that weren't enough, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, let me tell you, if you stop at the end of verse 2 and settle, you'll never get the rest of it. You say, but I've already got God. I've got heaven. I've got salvation. I've got forgiveness of sins. I got all this. And this is why people settle, because they're not interested in the next section. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Why would you glory in tribulations? Like, I'm trying to get away from problems. I'm trying to get away from tribulations, trials. Knowing that tribulation produces something called perseverance. And perseverance, character, produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you do want that, the end of verse 5, but you can't get to the end of verse 5 without starting with tribulation. So you can't be a settler and get what it is you're really after. Because once you process through all that, the tribulation, so you say, okay, well, there's tribulation, but now I got perseverance. I'm not going to quit. And then that perseverance produces some character. You can always tell people who endure tribulation with perseverance because they have character. And those are the people you're trying to hire. You're not trying to hire flaky people who can't handle any adversity, any tribulation. And that character produces hope. Then you start going, oh my gosh, there's hope. I can do this. I can live this life. And then you start to experience life more abundantly, the life that he intended. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit was given to us. Now see, what we say is, well, I want to feel the love of God. I want to experience the love of God. You will. Tribulation, perseverance, patience, character, hope. Then boom, here he is. Well, I don't want all that. I just want the good stuff. Let me tell you something. This is the good stuff. Romans chapter 12. Now, there are people who know this, these two verses by heart. You've heard them read. Don't say, I already know what this says. Because if you know what this says, your life will be changed. He says, I beseech you. This is Paul writing to this church at Rome. I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So he says, I want your body. God wants your body. Now, why would I not want to turn my body over to God as a living sacrifice? Not to die physically and be a dead person, but to die spiritually in a way to the flesh. And say, okay, it's a living sacrifice. It's all you. I give you my body. Because if I give him my body, I can't do what I want to do with my body anymore. I was driving on the freeway and carload everybody in the car. I saw a Dunkin' Donut sign. What these are doing on the highway, I have no idea. Dunkin' Donut. Late afternoon, you know, I prayed hard about it. And went in there, and all I was after was an eclair. I'm an eclair guy, so if I'm going to sin, that's how I'm going. So I get in there. This is a 24-hour Dunkin' Donut. They got no eclairs, so now I'm upset. How many hours is it going to take to get me an eclair? You know, we're going to wait. So I ordered some stupid jelly-filled donut, the worst thing in the world, right? I started eating that and went, I threw it away. You said, why'd you throw it away? I don't want that anymore. Now you say, well, why'd you stop and get a donut? I thought that's what I wanted. Just a little look-see. But see, I can't present my body to God and do what I want to do anymore with my body. So if you're going to live a holy life and you present your body a living sacrifice to him, then sexually you can't do what you've been doing with your body anymore. It's not your body. You presented it to him. Now he decides what you do with it. And there are a lot of people go, I'm out. I'll settle for my ticket to heaven because I want to live like hell. Or food. See, if you give him your body, you got to ask him what kind of fuel you're running in that engine. You can't be running your fuel anymore. It'd be a whole lot cheaper for you to pull your car into a gas station and go over to the water pump and just fill your tank up with water. It's a lot cheaper, I promise you. It won't cost you anything to fill your car up, except your car won't run anymore. So you say, well, this is intense stuff. You're getting, this is heavy again. It's heavy. If you're going to grow up, it's going to get heavy. You know, anybody make a baby, takes a man, takes a woman to raise a kid, a family, commitment, all these things that people don't want to do anymore. But you don't get the satisfaction, the joy, the contentment, the life that God intended unless you do it his way. So if you had to give God your body, what would you miss out on? You say, well, I wouldn't be able to sin. And what would you miss out on? Keep reading. the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't settle and end up proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's never going to happen, because settling doesn't produce good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, you say, well, how do I live this way? You keep saying we got to live this way. You live this way by faith. You look at the world and say, okay, I see what it offers me, and I know where that's going to end up. Do I have the faith to not take that exit and keep going? You have the power to say no. You have to believe that you have the power to say no. Say no, and all of a sudden that power is activated, and you just keep moving. But if you don't believe that, the devil goes, see, you got nothing. And he knows you got a ticket to heaven if you're a Christian. But if that's all you got, what's he after? Back to John 10:10. Steal, kill, destroy. So he's out to steal that more abundant life, because he can't keep you out of heaven, but he can wreck your life. So if you want to prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God, you can't be conformed to this world. That's settling. So you say, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm done. I don't want any more. I'm going to go back to my old life. Let me tell you something about going back to your old life. There ain't nothing back there. There's nothing back there. And if your deal was women, there aren't enough women on the planet to fuel that fire. And if your deal is drugs, there's not enough drugs on the planet to fuel that fire. And if your deal is alcohol, not enough alcohol. If your deal is pride, money, there's not enough money. You think, well, if I just had this much money, I sit with men who got hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're always talking about another deal. Because if you can make 500 million, you can make a billion. And then what are you going to do? And how many years are you going to burn up trying to hit the billion? Yeah, but then I'll be a billionaire. But will you have proven what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Now, some people say, well, but what if I decide to do this and nobody goes with me? If you're a Christian, you can't go anywhere by yourself. You got the same God who created the whole universe living in your body. You're not by yourself. And I promise you, if you pull away from one pack of riders and ease up on the next pack, you ride with them for a while until they say, well, we're going to settle in right here. You say, well, that's not what he made me to do. I'm riding on. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, what's this going to cost me? Listen, that's not the question. The question is, what's it going to cost you if you don't do what you're supposed to do? And it's going to take you dying or Jesus coming back and standing before him to find out what the answer to that is. And then you'll go, why didn't I listen? Why did I settle? Why did I settle? Let me give you a specific one here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Everybody got it? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now you say, well, what does that apply to? Everything. I've had a conversation recently with a businessman who's been in business with a non-believer. Let me tell you something about unequally yoked. You put two oxen in a yoke, and the only way they pull together is they're about this. If one's too big and one's smaller, or one's stronger, or one's weaker, what they will do is the weaker one won't be able to pull, so they just go in circles. They don't pull together. Okay? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You say, well, I'm going into business with somebody and they've got all the money and I don't have any money. And so I'm going to go in business and we're going to do this together. I'm telling you, this is going to go crazy somewhere, because they are not pulling where you're pulling. They're not pulling the way you're pulling. They don't have your same desires, your same passion. You've got to be careful with this stuff. And it's hard enough being in business with a believer, because there's still challenges. So why would you want to try it without God? So keep reading. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or worthlessness? In this case, he's referring to it as literally Satan. And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Trust him. Wait for him. Don't settle. You say, well, I'll be old.
You'll be old and unsettled, but settled in him.
Hebrews chapter 11. And this is just kind of in the sequence here of the books in the Bible. But Hebrews 11, 8 mentions a settler who was not a settler. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, how can you do that? You have to trust God, believe God. I've told the story about starting this church. And on a given day, I had fasted and prayed, got my answer, went home, looked at Rebecca, and I said, it's game on. She said, okay. She was on. She was in. And I described it to people as, you know, you don't know how many people are in with you. Turns out there were 11 who said, we'll do it. And in my family, so it was four of us at the time, that's 15 of us. And the feeling was, it was like God said, okay, I want you to jump out of this plane without a parachute, but I promise you, before you hit the ground, someone will catch up with you, give you a chute, put it on, pull the cord, and you'll be okay. Jump. And what if you don't jump? Now you say, oh, well, good for you. This turned out okay. You know what? What's not turning out okay? Because you ain't jumping. Because you settled. You got comfortable. And now you're telling God how it's going to be and what you're going to do and not going to do. And the quenching of the Holy Spirit, the grieving of the Holy Spirit. And now your old heart starts getting calloused. You say, well, what's going to happen to me? You're just going to die. But I'm having a big time. No, you're not. You'll never have a bigger time than an abundant time. No bigger time than his big time. And you can fill it with whatever you want to fill it with. It will never be the full life that he intended, even if it involves sacrifice. Let's do 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're actually going to start in verse 1 and read down to this. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And that's what I'm after. And that's why I tell you, I wouldn't trade with anybody. You don't have enough money to offer me to trade this deal for anything else. Because what's better than this? Getting to do that. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You either spend your life raising yourself up and God putting you down, or you humble yourself and let him do the lifting. And when it's time, he'll lift you up if he thinks and knows you're ready. Be sober. And that word means that. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. So you're not experiencing, oh, I'm done. I'd rather be a POW in the devil's prison and have him leave me alone than be under attack all day. Oh, that's brilliant. If I said, how many have been in prison and you're before and the hands went up, and I said, how many want to go back, the hands come down. Because being somebody's prisoner is no fun. So how do you do what everybody in the world is being faced with? You resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that it's not like you're the only person. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So all the good stuff is on the other side of resisting temptation, tribulation, suffering. And you say, maybe, I don't care. I'm going to settle right here. I got my ticket to heaven, and it's all going to be good. Let me tell you something. It's not going to be good. You're going to suffer anyway. And the scripture says it's better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. So do the right thing and suffer. Don't sit around just thinking you're going to escape it. Because the suffering that you will end up experiencing is the discipline of a holy God who cares enough about you to come get your attention. So I can think of people I know that settled and they think, I got away with it.
And then all of a sudden, he starts turning the dial, and circumstances and consequences and choices and things start piling in. And then they're crying out for help and angry with God. Why are you doing this to me? Most of the trouble I've had in my life, I brought on myself. Being sinful, selfish, self-absorbed, it wasn't God. Claude told me one day, he said, Richard, sometimes God will discipline you because you've done wrong, and then you get to a point where he'll discipline you because you are wrong. It's not something you've done, it's just something you are. It's an internal way of thinking and processing, and he'll say, we're not doing that anymore. So you may think, oh, I'm good, I'm not doing anything. It has a lot to do with who you're being, not just what you're doing, because then it goes internal. Now, who am I as a person? All right, last one, Revelation chapter 3. And this is verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you, spit you out of my mouth. Settled. Not even cold. Not going backwards, just I'm going to chill right here till Jesus comes. And you got no verses for that. And it's not going to work for your life, and it's not going to work for the lives of the people waiting for you to get up and grow up and get on with your life. So there's one other kind of settling that we need to talk about, and it's the people who need to settle where you are going to spend eternity. You say, well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. And I tell you this, and I'm not screaming and hollering and sweating, and I don't have a towel. I'm just up here as calm as I can be. I'm telling you, what you believe and don't believe in, you will. Sure. And when you do, and you haven't done something about this, you don't settle it on this side, it'll be too late to settle it because it will already be settled. Right. And you say, well, how did it get settled? You settled it. Right. Because if you don't say yes to Jesus, you say no to Jesus by default. You say, well, I never said no. By not saying yes, you said no. So God comes along and says, okay, I made you. I've given you life. I've sustained your life. I've sent everybody in the world. You've heard scriptures. I've knocked on the door of your life. I'm on you. Everything. You know I'm here. You know it's real. Let's settle this. And you keep saying no. You keep saying one day. That's all you get, by the way, is one day. You're going to run out of one days, one day, because one day you're going to die. And you say, well, I'm going to grab him on the way out, unless you're killed tragically instantly in a car wreck and you can't reach to grab, and then it's too late. You say, well, dude, why are you so worried about this? Because you will end up in a real hell forever because you didn't settle it. You say, well, now you're trying to scare me. You are, you know what, right? I'm trying to scare you. Because this is life and death. This is heaven and hell. This is darkness and light. This is forever. And I'm encouraging you, if you're trying to tell yourself you don't believe in it because you'll feel better about it, believe in it because it's coming.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So you say, well, how do I settle it? He's made you an offer that you would think nobody could refuse. I'm going to let my son go down there, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and he's going to die a perfect sacrifice on a cross, shed his blood. I'll take that payment for all of your sin. He's going to be buried and raised from the dead. So I've got an answer for your sin, your past, your present, your future, eternity. I'm offering you a package deal, not just life, but an abundant life. And it's all free of charge. Merry Christmas. And you say, well, let me think about that. What you got to think about Is somebody offering you something better? Oh, yeah, the devil offered me 70 virgins. What did he offer you that you took him up on? Because to tell God no, you got to be telling somebody yes. You made a deal some other place. And how is that working out for you?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.